1, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. If you weren't awake, you will be after this. I think this is a section of scripture that'll wake anyone up. And as a Christian, this is very, very, very important. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 10. It's a warning Paul gives to the church, and he just says it so clear. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let's pray. Father, give us grace that we can hear today. Give our ears the ability to hear the words. Give our hearts the ability to hear your words. Guard us from the distractions. Help us to be able to zero in for a few minutes on the things that matter the most. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be deceived. How do you like to hear that? Don't be deceived. These people were being deceived, the church in Galatia, because they were being deceived into thinking that though they had been saved by grace through faith, they merited God's favor through their own works. And so at least we look at this passage that we just read and we said it's very appropriate for those believers. Don't be deceived. If you work in the flesh, you're going to sow from the flesh. If you sow in the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. One is terminal, the other is eternal. One is terminal, the other is eternal. That's what the crux is of this whole letter to these believers. What they're doing and trying to go back to a works-based righteousness is terminal. There will be no fruit from it. So Paul makes it so easy to understand. He says, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Listen to this unbending, unchanging law. What a man reaps, what you reap, is what you will sow. What you invest, how you invest, is how you will get a return. Investment and return, reaping and sowing. It's so simple that a child can get it. An adult can get it. If you plant a seed of corn, what are you going to get?
Apple.
See, he's ignorant. But if you plant corn, you'll get corn. You can count on it. You can expect that. It's an unbending law. It's just the way it is. And he's applying it, obviously giving an illustration that you can see it in living color, but he's also... Quiet it down a little bit back there, everyone. It's a little bit loud. Try, anyway. But it's very simple. Whatever you plant is what will grow. And it's true in the spiritual realm and in the mortal realm. And your decisions and actions that you make, what you decide to do and how you act will bear out. It's going to show for what it is. It's going to show it one day for what it is. Job chapter 4, verse 8, the last part says, those who sow trouble harvest trouble. If you sow it, it's what you're going to harvest. Romans 2:10 says, there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. It's not advocating work salvation here. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. If you sow to the sinful nature, you'll reap from the sinful nature. And we're going to talk about this so clear. If, you know, think about when you're raising your children. If you raise and enable a child to continue in their selfishness where the whole world revolves around them, what do you think the adult's going to be? Selfish, self-centered. That is the way it is. Amen. If you're enabled to ignore and rebel against authority, parental authority, if parents enable their children to rebel against them, if society enables people to rebel against them, against authority, what do you think their spiritual life will be when it comes to submission to the living God? Don't be surprised and don't be shocked. If you sow a lack of discipline, you'll reap a lack of discipline. Amen. That is a fact. It's just the spiritual principle. It will happen that way. We wonder, why is our society the way it is today? Because that's exactly what we sowed as a culture. A culture of immorality, a culture of death, is because we sowed seeds to that end. The thing about it is, if you sow one seed, you get a multitude of seeds out of it. If it was a one-to-one ratio, it wouldn't be so alarming, but the fact that it's an abundance out of the one. And so Paul is warning them, don't be deceived. You cannot live a double life. You can't have in your heart a sense of well-being, yet acting out in a sinful way and think that you're going to reap righteousness. It won't happen. The fact of the matter is, this law of sowing and reaping frustrates all people, every human being. And Paul uses the words, don't be deceived, because it's real easy to think it's going to be different for me. It's as simple as, how hard do you work in your schoolwork? If you say, I will take it easy at this time in my life because one day I'll get serious about it, you're deceiving yourself. It's hard right now, but when I get older, it'll be easier. You're deceiving yourself. Now's the time, the Bible says, bear the yoke while you're young. Now's the time to do your schoolwork. Sow into your education. And so on, things like that. But the law of sowing and reaping is frustrating to all people. And it's difficult to see the truth, because we're all, children could say, well, I'm raised by broken people. That's absolutely true. That's why Paul doesn't say rely upon another human being. He says sow in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. The words he's been using throughout this whole letter. But there is hope. Before we go any farther, the hope is this. That as you have come to Christ Jesus, and Paul's writing to believers, always reminding them of the new birth that they had. And even though your character has been formed as a child, and much of what you are is a result of who you were when you were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to 16, whatever, those age groups. When your nature is changed, when you receive a new nature, through the new birth that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit works that your character would begin to be transformed. Without the Spirit, it's impossible to sow to the Spirit. But through the Spirit of God, we can sow into a life that is ours, and that is the life of Christ Jesus in us. And out of that, we will reap righteousness. If you sow into your spiritual life the things God tells us tells you to sow into, you will reap eternal life now and enjoy it now and forevermore. You get out what you put in. Is there Bible reading in your life? Is there prayer? Is there thoughtfulness to the things of God? You can tell by what you're reaping right now. Paul's writing to believers who have reaped eternal life. And this eternal life we reap is not ours, as it is Christ's eternal life. Christ sowed in his life on earth, in his ministry, Christ Jesus sowed into righteousness and holiness. In every way, he perfectly fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, in every way. He sowed into his people by shedding his own blood and by raising from the dead, the proof of the harvest that he himself reaped, and the harvest that you and I will reap that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing to believers. He's not writing to people outside of the faith that wouldn't have a clue of what he's talking about. He's writing to these believers, but it's appropriate that he warns them. It's a wonderful truth when we say there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because as a believer, the tragedy is if you sow, the good news is if you sow into the flesh, you live a life of doubt and fear and disgrace and shame, oftentimes full of guilt. But you reap eternal life. The Bible also warns us that on that great day, on the day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll give an account for how we lived in this life with the gifts that we were given, the Spirit of God that we were given. How did you use this? How did you apply it? How did you apply the gifts that God gives? How did you sow into your life? I think the worry that Paul has is that these people are becoming calloused in their hearts toward the very lives that they live. He's telling them, don't be deceived. Now, if you know that you've been deceived, the very first thing to do is to repent. Turn to God and say, I see the error of my ways. I've been sowing to the flesh. I've been sowing to please myself. And this confession before the Lord is absolutely essential. What is forgiven is forgiven. Paul is warning these people because you can get into a pattern of living that sows where you're investing in yourself so much that all you can reap is that which you can produce in your own strength. And he doesn't want that for any believer. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for me. This is not what is glorifying to God. He's warning the church in Galatia, and we're being warned today that you can sow into the flesh, sow into earthly things, and guess what? That's all you're going to reap. The things of this world will pass away. You can sow into your education simply for education that you might advance in this world for yourself. But that's a temporal reward. You can sow into your education for the glory of God that in some way you might benefit your family and benefit the world around you for Christ's sake. I remember there was a man at College Park, I forget which doctor it was, but he had made a commitment to sow into ministries, to give, to invest in the kingdom work around the world and to live on 20% of all that his income. Give away 80%. That was on his heart. And it was his desire. And I think by the time he died, it was revealed that he did. It's amazing. Did he lack for anything? Maybe some people thought he did, but he sure didn't. He was sowing into eternal things. There is a law of sowing and reaping, and we oftentimes, and here I think Paul is pointing it out negatively. But it also has a positive result, too. Sowing into the kingdom of God, sowing into things of the Spirit, reap eternal reward. Well, verse 8 tells us that there's two places to plant. And this is where we see the positivity and the negativity of the sowing and reaping principle. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Now, the question is just that ending part. I thought we had eternal life already. You do. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Spirit gave you a new heart, He planted eternal life, that seed was planted in your heart that will not fail. You have eternal life. The question is, are you enjoying it? Are you an eternal life is not a thing. Eternal life is a person. Amen. Jesus said that you may know you, Father, and know the Son. Eternal life is in Christ. It's His life. You've been given His life. You are in His life. You've received it, and you're in it. The question is, are you enjoying eternal life? Are you enjoying God? If the answer is I'm not enjoying God, then you are sowing in the flesh. He says, Paul writes, if the one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. In other words, there's nothing of any substance or fiber in sowing to please yourself. There are two places to plant then, Paul is telling us. There's the field of the flesh. Two places to invest, however you want to do it. There's the field of the flesh, or there's the invest in yourself plan, and there's the invest in the Spirit, invest in the kingdom, invest in the spiritual life that God has given you. Invest into God's plan, into His field, plant in His field. Sowing in the flesh is simply this, sowing, investing in yourself in such a way that you satisfy every desire that you have. And this is contradictory to the Christian life, because the Christian life is a life that's other than what you used to be. You used to be hot after yourself, what you wanted, satisfying those desires, how you wanted to satisfy them, when you wanted to satisfy. It's like being a baby. A baby lives to do what a baby wants to do, and that is to eat, at least to eat, sleep, but have all the attention without even knowing it. It's just what babies do. And you teach babies. You teach them. You sow into them. You grow. You invest yourself into them because, you know, I don't want to have a 20-year-old baby. I want that baby to grow up and thrive. I don't want that baby to think it's always got to be the center of attention and demanding everything. Me, me, my, mine. So into that child that that child slowly but surely learns it's not about me. It's about God. It's about the kingdom. It's about everlasting life. It's about glorifying God in everything that I say, think, and do. Think, say, and do. That's what the kingdom is all about. And that's what we do. That's how we grow. But the temptation is, Paul saying, don't be deceived. You're going to reap what you sow. I think it was John Stott said it, but I don't have the quote exactly right. I just remember it was pretty neat. How do you know if you're sowing to the flesh, to the sinful desires? And that was what the discussion was. When you and I, when we harbor bitterness in our heart, and we do that, don't we? We harbor it. We provide a safe place for it. We won't tell anybody about it sometimes, but we harbor it anyway. When we hold a grudge against someone, when we nurse offenses, you ever nursed an offense where you're hurt and you're going to make sure that you remember it? It's hard. We're tempted to sow into that hurt and nurse it and prop it up and give it balm to keep it hurting. When you nurse an offense, we want to give that offense a balm. We want to build it up. When we daydream of impurity, when we relish self-pity, we sow to the flesh. Whenever we keep company with bad company, Paul said bad company corrupts good character. Well, that's just for people that are weak. That's a biblical principle. You reap what you sow. You sow into friendship of bad company, you will reap destruction. Period. Don't be deceived. You are not as smart as you think you are. You're not as savvy as you think you are. And you're a fool if you think I can do it today because I'll get serious about it tomorrow. Don't be deceived. You're not that good. You're not that powerful. John Stott went on to say, if we keep company with bad company or test the limits of our self-control, I'll bump up to the edge of what I can tolerate in temptation. We are sowing to the flesh. And there's nothing you can expect except destruction and corruption and misery and guilt. The Bible says your sin will find you out. Be sure of this, your sin will find you. As a believer, you cannot sin and sow to the flesh and laugh and think, you know what, there's not a consequence happened yet. Your sin will find you out. And that doesn't always mean that it first has to go public, that everybody has to find it out. Are you enjoying your eternal life? Are you enjoying God? The answer to that is no, I'm not. Your sin is finding you out. Do you lay awake at night with regret and remorse and sorrow over your own sin? Your sin is finding you out. Can you keep track of the stories that you've told different people and you're a little bit afraid to say anything for fear you're going to contradict yourself and expose yourself? Your sin is finding you out. Is there misery? Is there anxiety? It could be your sin is finding you out. Do you feel guilty? Your sin has found you out. Now, guilt is a good thing. All these things, when you feel the weight of your own sin, when you feel it and you know, you can say, I know it's because of what I said. I know it's what I've been thinking. I know it's what I've been saying. I know it's what I've been doing. And I know my sin is finding me out. I know the heart knower is exposing my heart. And I feel awful. Those feelings are good. Those feelings are a gift from God. Those feelings, for the believer, we know it's the Spirit working in you to make you miserable enough that you would repent and turn to God. And find refreshment for your souls. Guilt is good. It's God's mechanism for repentance. And confession of that sin before God is for your healing. And as far as it spreads, your sin spreads to other people and affects other people. Confession of your sin to those people that you've injured or who have been affected by your sin is healing. Husband, have you neglected your family because of your own sinful appetites? Have you neglected your wife, your children? Confess it to them too. They've been affected, that you might be healed. Sowing to the flesh for the believer is not the end of the story. Repentance changes everything. Repentance is much more than just simply thinking I did wrong or just saying to God I did wrong. It is actively pursuing His strength and power to repent. And so Paul says if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. In other words, if you stay on that path, you can count on it becoming nothing in the end. It says sow to the Spirit. If you sow, let's see, what does it say? The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Do you enjoy God? The answer to that is no, but I want to sow to the Spirit. Then you will enjoy. It'll yield eternal life. It's very simple. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You want to live in the Spirit, bearing fruit, then occupy your mind with things above. Paul was all over this for the church. Colossians, set your mind on things above. Offer your body to God as an instrument of righteousness. If you do, when you do, by faith, doing the work of a farmer or a good investor, if you invest in the things of heaven, you will enjoy your eternal life right now, as well as forever. Most of us are satisfied not even enjoying eternal life right now. We'll live to make it through today because one day we'll get to heaven. That is a half-hearted life. That is not the lifestyle of the eternally wealthy. the lifestyle of the eternally wealthy is live in that wealth or like you have it now. It doesn't. Now, I'm not promoting go out and spend it out. Just start sowing. Sow a seed into this ministry of $1,000 and you will enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying. But if yours is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or be taken away, or fade, or anything else, it's kept in heaven for you, and you're laying up treasures in heaven, lay up treasures in heaven. And enjoy it. For every time that the times that we have put money into an IRA, or we can add to that IRA, it is with joy because of the anticipated return someday. The farmer may be tired and wore out when he has to go to plant his field, but he does it because he knows that when he does, he's sowing like a rich man because he's expecting that harvest, which will come. Ah, it's sowing to the Spirit that reaps the sweetness of the presence of God in your life. The good thing is, for the believer, so often I've even questioned at times when I've sown to the flesh, am I even saved? Repent. Let the joy of the Lord return. Let the joy of His salvation return. David said after his sin, he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of Your salvation. He didn't say, restore my salvation. Restore the joy of it. When was the last time you enjoyed a sense of joy of this salvation that you've been given? Sow to the Spirit and you will enjoy your eternal life. Now the hard part in this is found in verse 9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. How many of you ever said, I've tried to do good, I have prayed, I have read the scripture, and I don't see a return on my investment? Some old timer observed rightly, said the problem children have is they want to plant the seed and they'll sit there because they want to watch it grow and get the harvest today. So often as in our faith, we're like little children. And it's natural. We're promised this blessing, but Paul uses a picture that everyone would get. I plant a seed, it takes time. But in time, it will produce a harvest. And this is what Paul is saying. The hard part for us is to realize the timing is God's timing. Different fruit or different produce takes us differing times according to God's schedule. Paul's saying, persevere in sowing in the Spirit, anticipating a harvest. There are seasons of faithfulness that you'll have in your life, and it'll seem like a long time between that season of faithfulness and sowing in the Spirit, and a long time before there's any evidence of fruit. But you can enjoy your eternal life now, even while you're waiting for that harvest, as you wait upon the Lord, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, who rules over the seasons of growing, of planting and growing and harvest. If you know according to the Word of God, taking God at His Word and obeying Him, God says that I need... Let's just take one. God says to avoid, to abstain from sexual immorality. If I wait God's time and for the proper release of an expression of intimate relationships with my wife, I will reap peace, contentment, a clear conscience. If I sow to my anger, I will reap trouble. But if I sow as a peacemaker, I will reap peace and be called children of God. he says, persevere in this, because how many Christians have been persecuted as peacemakers only to be called troublemakers instead of peacemakers? It's God who makes the final determination. The harvest will come. Don't grow weary. Be patient. Knowing this, a reward is coming. God, the picture of harvest is so beautiful. And I've said it already, but if you plant one, it doesn't... Look what God does. You plant one kernel of corn, and how many's on an ear? Hundreds, right? Out of one. You cannot outgive God. Don't grow weary. Keep an eye on God, who sees every act, whether good or bad. This is for your encouragement, that you won't be deceived in thinking that somehow God has slacked off. He will reward you at the judgment seat of Christ. There you'll receive the best harvest of all time. One that can't be taken away. Ever. One of the earmarks of a vibrant Christian who's enjoying their eternal life is they keep an eye on his coming. And they operate functioning with that in mind. Jesus is coming soon. He is coming soon. Paul included those who loved his appearing as those who were the most fruitful and faithful, as Paul wrote to Timothy. And so the question is, well then, how can I do this practically? How can I practically carry out this sowing and reaping? It's very simple. Verse 10, he says, he's telling us to be active. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Be active. Be active in sharing your faith. Be active in doing good. This word good is the same good that's used for the fruit of the Spirit, talking about goodness, spiritual, moral excellence. Do good for other people. Be a blessing to other people. Because the whole point of this passage, I think, another way to say it is, I learned this in counseling, is very good. There's two choices on the shelf. Please God or please yourself. He's saying please God. Live for Him by doing good to all people. Live for Him by exalting Him through moral excellence and spiritual excellence. Transferring the blessings of those excellencies to all people, especially to the household of God. And know this, God won't forget. He won't forget. He won't forget every visit to the sick. He won't forget every time you cared for the poor. He won't forget the encouraging word. He won't forget the loving deeds of benevolence toward others. He won't even miss a cup of cool water that you gave to someone. My favorite promise, I think, summarizes this verse so well. It's Hebrews chapter 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. God will never forget. And so when Paul says the hard part is persevering, and he says instead of giving up, persevere, don't grow weary in it, because God won't forget how you sow. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this text of Scripture which challenges us to come out of our deceptive thinking and thinking that somehow things would be different for me if I sowed into the flesh and lived an undisciplined lifestyle. And don't seek after you. But we thank you for this passage. It tells us that we can reap the joy of eternal life as we sow into the Spirit. We can enjoy you more and more and more. Making decisions daily that honor you and glorify you. Decisions that show the sinfulness of sin and the beauty of holiness. The things that we do. Give us power. Give us faith. Increase our strength that we could persevere and not grow weary in doing good and striving for moral and spiritual excellence, that we might behold the radiance of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And help us to think of how that would look if we would carry out verse 10 of being active and working to the good of one another, loving each other, showing forth the goodness of God through our behavior and conversation toward each other. Radically change someone's life today for the good. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.